Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, my colleague and friend, joins me at Gordon G. Chang. We turn to a headline that seems extremely important when you consider the state of the Chinese economy since the crater of the property market. China's office property market outlook. China's property market outlook. Bleak. That's the word they use. A Dickensian word. Bleak as foreign firms leave in droves. Another metaphor, droves. That's what you associate with fleeing pigeons. And Stevenson Yang joins us, author of Wild Ride, which is the story of the People's Republic of China in desperate poverty and mourning, rising up in the matter of 30 years to the miracle of the planet. And then, and a very good evening to you. Thank you very much for joining. You have reported on the residential markets, especially those where the buildings are either incomplete, never built, or collecting bird droppings because the windows were not put in. The office market is difficult worldwide since the pandemic. This report, bleak for foreign firms leaving in droves, is that news, or is this the news catching up with what you've observed for some time? Good day to you, Anne.
Good day, John, and thank you for inviting me. Yeah, I think that this has been around for a while. The office market in China is a more manipulated market than even the residential market. You have vacancy rates of up to 40% in the major cities for offices. But it's reflected in the residential market as well. Even Goldman Sachs, which is very conservative on these issues, estimates that there's about $13 trillion worth of inventory on the market.
And the commercial real estate, I want to make certain I understand this. Was it built alongside the residential in those secondary and tertiary cities? In other words, was it anticipating an office surge at the same time people moving to towns, though it never happened?
That's right, John. There were a lot of cities were anticipating that a lot of companies would come in. They induced a lot of their own companies to build new offices in new city centers. And these things just never filled up. I imagine that there are also some vacancies following the pandemic, but I'm not too sure about that.
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
And I suppose this must have a significant impact on rents in the commercial sector and cities, right?
I mean, you would think, but what you're finding instead is that there's a lot more vacancy and people waiting to try to get higher rents. Yes, rents are declining, but they're not mostly reported. So people try to avoid registering contracts when they're at a lower rate so that they won't advertise that rates are going down.
This article points to foreign firms. What about domestic firms? Are they mandated not to vacate their offices when there's a cutback in, say, personnel? Are they subsidized in some fashion so that they don't have the same pressures a foreign firm would have?
That all depends on what sector they're in and what kind of city. I think what you've really seen is a collapse of the sort of private tech sector companies, all of those, you know, food delivery or bicycle rental or that kind of company has essentially collapsed. And so those offices, you know, they may be sitting there with empty offices until the end of their rental period, but they're not operating anymore.
What you're describing is a recessionary experience accelerated. It's as if it's been speeded up 2 or 3 times. So we're hearing the things that we experience in recessions, but they're happening week after week after week. Does that describe what we're witnessing, and that China has, the Chinese labor has no experience of this before? They've never seen it.
I think that's true, John. The average person in China was expecting, until 2021, was expecting the economy just to keep on rising and rising and rising. And they're kind of stunned by the fact that there are no jobs around. People who were earning $100,000 and $200,000 a year in the past now can't get jobs for, you know, $12,000-$15,000, just sort of selling insurance. The state-owned companies are actually charging people to give them jobs.
Gordon, if this was happening in a normal state, say France or America, there would be deflationary pressures everywhere. Is that true for China? Can we tell?
China does have deflation. You can see it in that the overall GDP deflator is where it is. Consumer prices are very low. It's like 0.2% consumer price inflation. And in the factory sector, there's been inflation now, a deflation now for more than 2 years. The PPI, which measures factory gate prices, has been negative for 28, 29 straight months, something like that, which really is an indication that there's overall deflation in the economy.
And again, Gordon, if this was a normal country, say Britain or Portugal, and it was experiencing deflation, that is much more difficult to shake than inflation. There is no remedy other than time. At least that's history. Will it be different in China?
I don't think so. It won't be different, John. And the reason is people are people. And people in China, especially consumers, are holding out because they know prices are coming down. And so they have no incentive to go out and buy consumer items when they know that in 6 months things will be cheaper. And in the factory sector, Xi Jinping keeps on adding capacity. So, of course, factory prices have to come down.
You have a question for Ann.
Ann, it's interesting when you think about the state banks or the banking sector in general, because they must be hurting as rent landlords are stretched. What is the situation with the pay retirement of obligations to banks by landlords?
So one thing that's important to remember about China is that the banks are the arterial system of the Communist Party. And so a lot of the stimulus that you've seen coming out of China, there was a $300 billion package that was announced. There's an 8 trillion renminbi package that they keep floating. And these things are really, really to save the banks, not to save the average person. So the idea is that you keep on giving them fresh infusions of money so that they can roll over these loans and they don't have to they don't have to mark the loans as bad on their balance sheets. Obviously, that can't go on forever.
What we're observing, Anne, again, if this was a normal country, and I accept the fact that it's not, what we're observing is that the government is standing by with the Keynesian bullets, but it's not firing as it has before, or at least not at the scale it did in 2009. What's holding them back?
Well, I don't think it was ever quite a Keynesian bullet, because as I mentioned, the focus of the Chinese government is not on consumption, really. It's on saving the banks and making sure that the industrial sector keeps afloat somehow. But the problem is that the issue has just become so huge that there really isn't enough money in the world to keep floating it. I mean, if you have $13 trillion of stuff on the market, and on the market just means that this is stuff that the developers thought that they could sell, so they got sales permits for it, there's probably much more looming in the back. I mean, that's a good, you know, at least 2 years, even if the market speeds up. And so they're kind of stuck with, and if they were to issue, you know, $10 trillion worth of stimulus, yes, the market would roar forward for a little while, but the currency would depreciate and that would be bad for the party.
Gordon, again, if this was a normal country, we'd see huge unemployment surges, especially in the big cities. Are we seeing that?
We're seeing a substantial amount of unemployment. The figures the government issues are increasingly less reliable. You know, and it's interesting that one of the new trends among the young is what they call, quote unquote, retiring. In other words, moving from cities into the countryside and taking up farming. In other words, doing the reverse of what my dad did many decades ago. So, yes, the situation is bad, especially in the younger kids cohorts. And the other thing we're seeing, John, is underemployment, maybe worse than unemployment.
Ann Stephenson Yang is author of a book I highly recommend, Wild Ride, China's Short-Lived Experiment in Capitalism. It takes you from the moment it begins to what we're observing now, the very slow death of the miracle. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Chances are you've been to the doctor recently, and you probably handed over your insurance, your ID, and even your social security number. Your doctor is just one of many places that has your personal info. And if any of them accidentally expose your details, you could be at risk for identity theft. LifeLock monitors millions of data points a second. If you become a victim, they'll fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to lifelock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.